Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A failed harvest is when someone does not reap the corresponding and appropriate harvest for what he has invested. Today, Bishop Dag will help you to understand what it means to have a failed harvest. He will share biblical examples of people who reaped positively from a harvest they sowed, and also those whose failed harvest had a negative impact. You'll also learn about the blessings from God of mercy, kindness, and forgiveness, and why you must also be ready to extend the same grace you receive to someone else.
Amen. Shall we stand to our feet and share a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word, which cannot be broken. We worship you, Jesus, and we ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to influence us, that all that we share, say, and minister may change our lives forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Today we are ending our series on forgiveness made easy. And the subject today is the law of the failed harvest. The law of the failed harvest. Now, we have been studying why it is important to forgive. And I believe that we are learning that it is important to forgive. Amen. All right. So, one of the last reasons why we must forgive, or the last reason, is so that we would, so that we would activate the law of the failed harvest. Amen. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Now, we have been studying about forgiveness. If you live in this world, you will experience many hurts all the time. You cannot live for long without being offended by something or someone. And so it is important to learn to forgive. Otherwise, you will go off into the deep end. And we studied several reasons why it's important to forgive. Because we want to be perfect. Because we should analyze the outcome. We should analyze the offenders. And because it's God's commandment, it's God's will, etc. And the last reason is because of the law, to activate the law of the failed harvest. Now in Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, we can start right there. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Amen. Now, notice Galatians 6 verse 7, which is a verse you should all underline in your Bibles if you have one. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever." Everybody say whatsoever. Whatsoever. Whatsoever means whatsoever. It means anything. It means whatever. It means whatever it is that you sow, you will reap it. Now, when you sow something or you put it into the ground, it grows, germinates, and comes back larger and multiplied. Is that not so? So you must be careful what you put into the ground. If you have a wall and you plant a seed of a big tree by the wall, it's likely that the tree is going to grow up and then probably break the wall or break the building that is next to the tree. So you may not want to put such a seed next to a wall. Is that not so? So there are times you watch out, even in the natural, that you do not put certain seeds at certain places because you will not like it when it grows or when it germinates. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
All right. And so one of the facts of this life is that we have all done wrong. Bible says, for all have sinned. Amen. And there are times we have done wrong things when we were aware that we were doing the wrong things. There are times we did when we're not aware. But whatever it is, as life goes along, even maybe before you got born again, there may be certain things you've done. Or maybe even as a born-again Christian, there may be things you have done or gotten involved in with, which you would not like to reap. Amen. Are you listening to me? What I mean by that is you will not like them to grow and multiply and for you to have the result or the harvest of that thing. Amen.
Amen.
Because if you are to harvest it, it would not be nice. Okay? But whether you like it or not, that principle exists in the world. Now, those of you who did a little physics, you would have learned about Newton's laws of motion. Newton's laws of motion are laws which exist, whether you know about them or not. Who knows Newton's laws of motion? Lift up your hand so I can come to you and then you tell me. Okay, who knew it once? Not today. Okay. So, one of the laws says that a body continues to move in a state of motion or rest unless it is acted upon by an external force. All right, now this law, you may not understand it, but this is the law that applies when you jump out of a moving car. When you jump out of a moving car, you continue to move in the same direction of motion that you were moving in before until an external force, which is the ground, starts to work on you to slow you down and bring you to a halt. All right. So whether you believe in the law or you like the law or you want the law to work or not, does not matter. The law exists. Newton has found it out and he wrote it down. He didn't create the law. He found out that law exists in this world. The law of gravity is another law. You can speak in tongues for 3 hours and jump off the top of the roof. It will still apply to you. Because it's a law that is in existence. Whether you know it or not, does not make any difference whatsoever to the law. The law just works independent. That's how law should be. So it's unfortunate when you are in a society where the laws are tampered with by people with power. And so the law is not independent. An independent judiciary. Because laws only work well when they are free to work. So, back to our law. Do not be deceived. Whatsoever you sow, you will reap it. You will reap it. You will reap it. So, the reason why we ought to forgive is because in our lives, perhaps there are things we wouldn't want to reap. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. What does it say? For the wages of sin is death. Wages. When you hear the word wages, you think of salary. Rice, water, rice, water, house, salaries. Your salary is what you reap after going to work 20 times in a week. On Monday you go to Friday, you go. Monday to Friday, Monday to Friday. So at the end of it, you reap some money. Alright? And so, you reap what you have sown. Now the Bible is saying that in the case of sin, it may not be in our law books, but it's true. That when you sow sin, you reap death. You are paying for it. In other words, there is a pay that comes for sinning. How many would like to be paid? Most people would like to be paid for overtime. They would like to be paid for the things they are doing. But the mistakes we have made in our lives, the sins we have committed in our lives, it would be nice if the pay doesn't come. How many would agree with me that it would be nice if the pay does not come? And so, this is what we mean by the law of the failed harvest. Okay, the harvest which fails, it doesn't, the harvest fails to come. Your salary fails to come. The wages fail to come. They are unable to come. And we need mercy. It is mercy that does not allow us to reap some of the evil things we have sown. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 5, if you look at verse 7, it's a verse you all know. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. In other words, blessed are those who forgive, for they shall be forgiven. In other words, blessed are those who have the capacity to let things go and to overlook, for they shall have their things also overlooked. Amen. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So, you must understand that it is Almighty God and then the laws that He has set in motion that are working. And whether we like it or not, some of these laws are at work. Now, for instance, the law could say that so-and-so must be executed. But then you could have what we call a presidential pardon.
That's right.
So even though the law is working, the president could pardon or show mercy to the person who must not reap, let's say, the death sentence.
That's right.
And when he is pardoned, with a presidential pardon, are you listening to me? He does not reap what he should have reaped. So God has a presidential pardon. I say Almighty God has a presidential pardon that he gives out to those who qualify so that they do not reap what they should reap. And this is what we are talking about. The law of the failed harvest. Let me tell you, many of us do not know the effect of the things that we do. That is why sometimes we do a little thing and we walk away, but we don't know that the little thing you did is having a great effect on somebody. Perhaps you propose to somebody, you're going to marry the person. The person believes you, follows you, trusts you. And then after 2 years or 3 years, you leave the person. Now to you, perhaps you've just left that individual. But perhaps it was that 2 to 3 years of the person's life which were what we call the flower of her age. Everybody has what we call the flower of her age. It's in the Bible. The flower of the age is the age or the period of time where the flower appears. It is not all the time that flowers appear. Our trees out here have got flowers. It's not yet time. When it's time, you see a whole lot of yellow flowers on our trees out there. Are you listening to me? So there is a season where the flowers appear. And when the flowers are there, the butterflies, the mosquitoes, and all the insects are attracted. Now these insects are the brothers. Amen. The butterflies are the brothers. Hallelujah. So when you hold up a sister during that important season of her life, then after you just say, look, I've broken up with you. To you, you've just gone away. But perhaps you have inhibited or prevented her from possibly ever getting married. So perhaps she doesn't get married. So you just walk away and it's like, it's nothing. Too bad. So you go along happily ever after. Living happily ever or intending to live happily ever after. You understand what I'm saying? But you have sown a seed. And that seed you've sown is a seed of destruction. You may not know. Destruction of somebody's life. And so, what is the harvest going to be like? I said, what is the harvest going to be like? Somebody said, destruction galore. If you sow the wind, the Bible says you reap the whirlwind. You must understand, you don't reap just what you sow. You reap. You are telling me. It doesn't just come out once. You put a seed corn in the ground, one grain. You don't just get one grain back. You get a whole stalk with the various cobs. Is that what you call it? Yeah. Hola, Bonnie Joe. Good. Now let me give you three examples of some people who reap the harvest. Then I'm going to give you three examples of people who were able to activate the law of the failed harvest, so that they did not reap. Turn with me to commonly known people, Kings. 1 Kings 21. The first person is King Ahab. King Ahab was the prime minister or president of his time in Israel. And he wanted a piece of land which belonged to somebody else, an ordinary citizen. The story is in 1 Kings 21. And it came to pass after these that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard. Or if it seem to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said, the Lord forbid it that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Amen. Are you understanding me? Now, the man wanted a particular plot of land because it was near his palace. But Naboth, the owner of the land, said, listen, I inherited it from my father, and I don't want to give away the inheritance. Now, sometimes people write in their wills that my property shall belong to so and so, and thereafter shall belong to so and so. Do you understand? In other words, they sometimes leave their property in such a way that it cannot leave the family, because they try to ensure that whatever happens, you know, the property remains in the family line. Do you understand? So many people write their wills in that way. Now, Naboth had received his inheritance, and his father knew that he, Naboth, was going to have the land, and his children, and his children's children. Now, here is somebody who wanted the land. So he took over and listened to his wife. And Ahab came to his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. And he said, for he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down in his bed. Verse 5. Jezebel was a good wife in a bad way. Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad, and why eatest thou no bread? And he said unto her, because of what Naboth had said. Verse 7. And Jezebel said, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread. Let thine heart be merry. I will give the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. All right? Now, here was somebody who felt that because he was in power, he could do anything. The fact that you are in power does not mean you can do anything. And this is the attitude you see in Ahab and his wife. The fact that you are in power does not mean you can have all the pieces of land in the country. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee that vineyard. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders, and to the nobles that were in the city. And she wrote letters saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high. Now, notice what she did in verse 10, because I'm going to show you three people: Ahab, Jezebel, and a certain man called Zimri. And I want you to see how they sowed seed and they harvested it. Jezebel organized two guys from town. And there are always people to do hidden people's dirty work. Some people hide behind walls and send others to do their dirty work. That's what Jezebel did. and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. Meanwhile, he had not blasphemed God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had said. Verse 12, they proclaimed a fast. Verse 13, then they came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. I've experienced this before. I've had people say things that I didn't say. People fabricated things to go and say things that I have never said. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. Everything that has happened before happens again. Hallelujah. So let's read on. And they proclaimed a fast, all right? And they sent to Jezebel. So they stoned him. They carried him out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and dead, that Jezebel said to her husband Ahab, arise. Victory is mine. Take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Are you reading what I'm reading?
Yes.
Here is stealing. Daylight robbery. This is wickedness. Trying to possess what is not for you. Now, I am just giving this as an example. You see, there are different things that we all get involved in and with. And we must be aware that these things are not new. So, you must now know what happens and then the results of these things. And you must also understand that God is not blind. He may seem to be quiet. And he may seem to be taking his time. But he sees.
Yes.
I said he sees.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so you notice right there that he went down to possess the land that somebody has signed an agreement for. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab. Go and meet him there, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus says the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Then Ahab said unto Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? He has made the prophet his enemy. The prophet is not your enemy. He's telling you the truth. And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee. I will take away thy posterity. I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam. And then of Jezebel, verse 23. Also he spake the Lord, saying, The dogs shall eat your wife, Jezebel, by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dies in the field, the fowls of the air shall eat. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is the prophecy that came on Ahab after he stole somebody's land and took away. So those of you in the church who cheat people of their land, because there are Christians who cheat people. There are Christians who write contracts and cheat people. You say, I'll do this, but you don't do it. You let somebody do something, but then you cheat him out of his money at the end of the day. Those of you who call yourself Christians, who, you see, you've taken somebody something. You have killed somebody. You have hurt somebody. And look at Jezebel planning. She is the wicked person behind the thing. Planning and organizing people to go and say that the man has done something that he has not done. There are some women, we don't see them in action, but they are powerful. They have power. They are the evil elements. Sometimes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Men have the position, the authority. They are the head. But the women are the necks. They turn the head anyway. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So I want you to see that the crimes that were committed, cheating people. You see, I want to say to Christian businessmen, there are people who would not like to do business with anybody who says he's a charismatic. Yeah. Name yourself, say you are charismatic. They wouldn't like to do any business with you. There are Christians who go to school and cheat. These days in the universities, we have 500 people in one lecture, 1,500 people, 1,200 people in one lecture. How can they not cheat? It's like a whole church. But if you're a Christian, you shouldn't cheat.
Amen.
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 Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Because you reap what you sow. Pray that the harvest doesn't. Some of you did O level, you didn't write it. A level, you didn't. Somebody wrote it for you. You reap what you sow. Unless the law of the failed harvest can apply. Hallelujah. You see, I want you to know that as believers, whatever we do, these things do not just apply to unbelievers. They apply to us. In fact, sometimes you can't see the difference between Christians and unbelievers. Sometimes you cannot see the difference between pastors and unbelievers. Sometimes you cannot see the difference. You wonder, who are the crooks? Who are those stealing the money? Those who have stolen and have killed to possess. Those who have killed people so that they can have more things, greed. Be careful, because payday comes. Amen.
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 Because you see, when you get wealth by evil, the Bible tells us very clearly that whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap it. When you kill innocent people, when you take their property, you cheat them of their money, you cheat them of their houses, you cheat them of whatever. Be careful. Be careful. It looks as if nothing will happen. It looks as if God is not alive. And you see, the person doesn't even have to be a Christian for him to activate certain laws against you. The Bible says that whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap whatever he sows. So decide not to cheat anybody in this life. Business people in the church, decide to be honest. Decide not to steal. Accountants, do not steal. Finance people, do not steal. Treasurers, do not steal. There are people in church who steal things. Ahab stole somebody's land and he killed to steal. And Jezebel organized and they stole. And it wasn't easy for them. Let's read Harvest Time. Now, I want you to look at, we are in 1 Kings chapter 21. Look in chapter 22 and see whether harvest time came in chapter 22. There is no harvest in 22. Look in 2 Kings chapter 1. Was there any harvest there? No. 2 Kings chapter 2, any harvest? No. Chapter 3, no harvest. Chapter 4, no harvest. Look, we are moving from 1 Kings 21. We are just going. It's as if God has forgotten about the matter. 2 Kings chapter 5, still there's no change. Everything is moving on smoothly, as though nothing ever would happen. Chapter 7, look again and see if there's any harvest for Ahab and his people. No, there's nothing. Chapter 8, is there any harvest there? No, there's nothing bad happening to anybody. Chapter 10, Chapter 9, Now, we begin to see harvest time. Harvest time occurs about 10 chapters later. Now, Ahab himself, when this thing, This pronouncement was made on. He became very sad and he repented, if we read on. And the Bible said that when God saw him repenting, God said, you see how he has humbled himself. I am going to bring this punishment, the harvest time. God said, I'm going to delay it. So we have delayed harvest. We have delayed harvest. So God delayed the harvest till after Ahab died. Only Ahab. But Jezebel, she didn't repent. So listen to what happened. Let me just tell you so we don't have to read so much. Elisha prophesied to a certain man called Jehu and anointed him and said, you are anointed to bring about all the harvest time. So Jehu, who was one of the captains in the army, he rose up. He went to the king of Judah. He killed him. He went to the king of Israel. He killed him. That was not Ahab. Then he went to Jezebel's house. Jezebel's house. When he got to Jezebel's house, Jezebel heard that Jehu had come to Samaria. The Bible says she went to paint her lips. And she came, she did her hair. And she came out of the window. Trying to charm Jehu. She used two important tricks to prevent the harvest from coming on. Let's read it. Second Kings chapter 9, verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. Wow! And she painted her face. And she tied her hair. She did a special style. Half was perm and half was cornrow. And then she looked out of the window and she smiled at Jehu. Then she realized that Jehu was not looking at her face at all. Because she was offering him a free scholarship. And Jehu was not interested in that at all. So then she went on and she threatened him with a very important threat which Jehu understood. As verse 31, as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master. Most of you don't know who Zimri is. Zimri is another man who did something, who also killed his master. So she asked him, as you are coming to kill me, remember that Zimri, ask yourself whether he had peace when he killed his master so that Jehu would be afraid. But Jehu was a very, very wild man. He lifted up his face to the window and he said, who is on my side? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. Eunuchs are men who have been castrated so that they grow big and they bath the queen. And they don't have any design. So that's why they are able to bath the queen. They are like women. And when he said, who is on my side? Remember that this same woman organized two men. Remember how she organized Jezebel? Do you remember how she organized two men to go and kill and organize the murder of Naboth? Do you remember? How many remember? 10 chapters earlier. So the man come on and says, who is on my side? Two of the eunuchs who have been bathing her every day. We are on your side. Then he told them, throw her out. She thought maybe they would fight for her. No. They threw her out. He lifted up his face and said, who is on my side? Look out, two or three, you know. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horse and the horses. And he threw her underfoot. He walked on her with the horses. If you have ever seen a jockey who has been walked over by horses, you know what we are talking about. When he was come, he ate and he drank. Verse 34. Then he said, go and see this accursed woman and bury her because she was a king's daughter. Verse 34. Then verse 35. They went out to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. When they came and told him, this is the word of the Lord saying, Elijah the Tishbite, that the dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. That's harvest time for Jezebel. And damnation. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung. Amen. Now what about Ahab? The one who took the land. Taking people's properties. Arbitrary confiscation of properties belonging to people. What happened to him? During his day, he repented. So God had mercy on him. But his sons, he had 70 children. He was very fertile. He didn't have problem with infertility. And he didn't practice family planning either. You see, Jehu was a very funny man. So he sent all Ahab's children where? You must know that sometimes your children reap for you. Oh, yeah. So fathers must be. One time when I was in the university, I was watching some lecturers who were so wicked. I would ask myself, why are you so wicked? Why are you so unreasonable? What spirit? Because you can see some of them. We have different lectures. There are some lectures you see that they want you to pass. They are trying to help you to qualify. And there are others you see they are trying to oppress you. And they are trying to frustrate you and to repeat you and repeat you and repeat you. You wonder that, why? What is this? Are you trying to teach us or are you trying to persecute us? I would ask myself that, don't you know your child? One day your child will come and walk on this same place. And I've seen more than one case of wicked people whose children came to pass there and received more wicked treatment. They reap all. So Jehu sent a message to Ahab's children. He said, you are 70 and you are all in the city. So since you are, elect one of you to be the king so that you can stand up to fight with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? He sent a message to them that since you are royalty, elect one of your people, elect one of the 70 to sit on the throne so that you have somebody to lead you in battle. Then when the people heard it, they said, "Hey!" That the people in the town, not the children, they said, what? A man who has killed two kings. By that time, Jehu had killed the king of Israel, he had killed the king of Judah, and he had killed Jezebel. He said, how can we stand against such a man? So they sent a message back to him. Tell us anything that you want us to do. The people in the town. Tell us anything you want us to do. And Jehu sent a message that, bring me the heads of Ahab's children. Jehu was just sitting, you see. He didn't kill Jezebel. He said that Eunuchs killed. Now Ahab's children, it wasn't he was going to. People were going to rally around. 70 of them. Read your Bible. Harvest time. 2 Kings chapter 10 verse 1. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. And Jehu wrote letters and sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezebel and brought up Ahab's children. Now as soon as this letters comes to you, seeing your master's sons are with you and there are with you chariots, horses, and a fenced city and armor, look, even he was now advising them, the best and the meetest of your master's sons, and set him on his father's throne and let him fight for his master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid, and they said, behold, two kings stood not before him, how shall we stand? And he that was over the house and he that was over the city and the elders and the bringers up of the children sent to Jehu saying, we are thy servants and we shall do all that thou bid us. And then he wrote a letter the second time, saying, if you be mine, and if you be hearken, take the heads of the men of your master's sons, and come to me to Jezreel by tomorrow this time. And it came to pass, verse 7, the letter came to them that they took the king's sons, Ahab's children, and slew 70 persons, and put their heads in baskets, and sent them to Jezreel. Do you remember when these people were being dispossessed of their city? They were in a fenced city. Naboth was also in his small land. His small vineyard. And he was dispossessed and killed for the land. In the same way also, this man's children, all of them were beheaded for the city that they were. Jehu said to them, he said, you put somebody on the throne. You have chariot. You have everything. Be ready. He said, we beg. They carried the heads in baskets, like offering basket full of heads of Ahab's children. Harvest time. Tell somebody, harvest time. Amen. Amen. Now, what about Zimri? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 16. Who was Zimri? Zimri was a coup plotter. 1 Kings chapter 16. In the 26th year of Asa the king, Elah began to reign. Verse 9. And his servant, Zimri, he was a sergeant or a captain in the army. In the navy, it is what rank? Captain is what rank? Lieutenant. And in the air force, flight lieutenant. Good. So you see, verse 9, and his servant Zimri, captain of half of his chariot, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Asa, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and killed him. He killed him the 27th year. Then we go down to verse 17. Verse 16. And the people that were encamped heard, saying that Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri the captain of the host king of Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went down from Gibbethon, and all Israel, and they besieged Tirzah. That is where Zimri was. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the king's palace and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. And he reigned for exactly 7 days. Amen. Amen. Orangus have one end. Amen. 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 Oh, are you feeling sad? Are we reading from the Quran or from the Bible? This is a man who overthrew. So nobody should plan to overthrow any government again. Amen. We teach it in the church. If you are in the church and you are in the army, don't overthrow governments. Amen. Because it doesn't end well. Unless the law of failed harvest is applied to you. You will harvest. Unless the law of failed harvest. Amen. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, if you shed blood, abortion, if you kill people, if you cheat, if you steal, if you mishandle people, if you don't treat people well, it will come back one day and you will harvest it. This is all I'm trying to say. Now, by the grace of God, there is a method by which we can obtain a failed harvest, that we should not reap what we have sown. How many want to go into that? Very quickly, as we close. We have a few minutes more. Number one, the first step is to be merciful. Now, in John chapter 8, you see the example of a woman who was taken in adultery, and they were about to kill her. Because in those days, the law was that if you get somebody in adultery, you must kill her. So let's see somebody who obtained, she did not harvest. Amen. Remember the story? They came unto Jesus and they said, we have caught this woman in the very act. Hallelujah. And then Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, so when they continued, he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Amen. Amen. Now in this story, we see one person who did not obtain the harvest of her sins. Why did she not obtain the harvest? Because she obtained mercy from the people who were about to judge her. And how did that happen? When the people considered themselves. When the people considered themselves, they refused to pass judgment. Amen. And that is why, as Christians, we must be careful before we pass judgment. Consider yourself, because you know, Jesus was just pointing them, just like Jezebel told this woman, that did Zimri have peace? Zimri died by fire within 7 days when he slew his master. And she was just warning him that if he tries to kill her within 7 days by fire, he will also die, but he didn't mind her. And these people were looking, said that if you kill this woman who is caught in adultery, then you are going to kill yourself too. So if you are innocent, throw. Everybody decided not to throw. Because when you throw, you are throwing at yourself. So the first way by which you obtain a failed harvest is when you yourself become merciful. Because not only did this woman receive a failed harvest, but all the other people who were judging her did not receive that because they were forgiven for their sins. Amen. So when you are merciful, that's why the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. That is why you see in certain countries where they have overthrown people, you realize that even though they've overthrown them, they don't kill them. But in other countries, they overthrow and they kill. And you realize that blood will have blood, as Macbeth said. And so mercy is better. Because when there is mercy, the mercy continues. And people continue to forgive and forgive and forgive until the law of mercy is applied. And so I want to say, if somebody is committing fornication, sometimes you see the way people speak about it. You should see the judgment. When you see a lady who is marrying an unbeliever, you should see the Christian talking. You see somebody getting pregnant out of marriage and she comes to church with her pregnancy. You should see the believer. Yeah. When so a Christian gets into trouble, he's arrested, he's taken to the police station. You should see the Christian condemning. Be careful. You may not see the way how you ever become a thief. Or you may not see how you ever get into that situation, but be careful as you take stones to start throwing. Because you will not know. One day I will show you how Ahab died. He thought he wouldn't die. A man who thought he wouldn't die, but he died that day. The prophet told him, if you come back home today, I'm not a prophet. Sometimes you don't know how it will happen, but it can happen. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are, for they shall obtain a failed harvest. They won't reap what they have sown by the grace of God. Oh yeah? Oh yeah? Oh yeah? You may be condemning somebody because pa. Before you realize you may have HIV. Maybe that person went and did but you did once. Injection, HIV. Kai! You are fever's unit, you are dying. So you will obtain mercy when you yourself are a merciful person. When you are a merciful person, it induces the law of the failed harvest so that you do not have to reap the things you have sown. Because the law is in place. Whether you like it or not, almost every man here has looked after another woman to commit adultery in his mind. Brothers, pastors, all of you, stand up and tell me that you haven't before. Yeah, and you are passing judgment on somebody. You are condemning yourself in the same word, in the same breath. Look, those who have been caught are fewer than those who have not been caught. Those who have not been caught, there are more than those who have been caught. Today, I don't know what is happening in the church. Number two, the second way by which you can obtain mercy is to ask for mercy. If you look at Mark chapter 10, you will see blind Bartimaeus. Jesus was passing by, and came to Jericho in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. And blind Bartimaeus shouted, amen, cried, thou son of David, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. He was blind. He had reaped. And in those days, they really knew that sin was related to sickness. And so they would often ask, whose sin was it that this man was born blind? Was it his own sin or his father's sin? And so he was crying, mercy! I don't want to reap this harvest anymore! I don't want to reap this harvest anymore! Have mercy on me! Have mercy! And the people said, be quiet, he's a busy man. And he cried all the more, have mercy! That's why you should pray for mercy. That's right. That's why you should pray. One of the prayers you should pray, if you grow up and you are mature, you should pray, God have mercy on me. God have mercy on me. God have mercy on me. In other words, don't let me reap what I've sown. 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 Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. You should learn how to pray that prayer. It doesn't mean that you've done anything bad, but you should cry, Lord, mercy. Because sometimes the things we haven't done, they are more. You see that man who was standing by the river, a good swimmer. You heard of that? And there was a little boy swimming in the water, and the boy was shouting. He was that, and the man was just standing there. Then he took out his cigarette, started smoking, and the man could swim, and the boy was there. And the boy screamed, and the boy died. The man took his cigarette. What was his crime? What bad thing did he do? Did he murder anybody? Did he take a knife? Did he steal somebody's land? What did he do? What was his crime? His crime was doing nothing. Sometimes doing nothing is worse than doing something. So see, sometimes our judgment is wrong. That's why sometimes we should allow the court to take its way. Because sometimes we rush things and then we realize that you have killed somebody you shouldn't have killed. The last one is Apostle Paul. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh! 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, for that he counted me faithful, putting me where? In the ministry. Who was before? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Injurious. He was a wall breaker. He was injurious. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a murderer. But what did he say? But I obtained mercy. In other words, I did not reap what I sowed. Woo! Is that not exciting? Is it not exciting that there are people who don't have to reap what they sowed? Come on. Why? Now let's find out why he obtained mercy. To see if you also qualify. Because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. How many have done things ignorantly? You didn't know what you were doing. Some of you knew what you were doing. Some of you knew what you were doing. Some of you knew what you were doing. You knew you were taking somebody's husband. Yes. And you knew you were spoiling his marriage. And you said that, he was going to divorce his wife. You were the last straw on the camel's back which broke the marriage. You. Wicked. The Bible says the adulterous woman, she eats and she wipes her mouth. And she says, I have done no evil. Ignorantly. But there's another reason. For obtaining mercy, I want you to see right there. Look on. Howbeit, for this cause, in other words, for this reason, I obtained mercy. Now he's now giving a reason why God gives mercy. That in me, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. It's a long way of saying it, but all he's trying to say is that so that God can use me to preach the gospel and to do his will. Amen. Some of you, God has shown you mercy so that you come into the house of the Lord and serve him. Sometimes I meet and I hear of my church members who have developed full-blown AIDS. Full-blown HIV. Maybe you did something 100 times, but nothing happened to you. You received mercy. Why? So that God can use you to do his will. But if you are not allowing him to use you, then what? The mercy is now in vain. I said the mercy is now in vain.
What is the use of God having had mercy on you and bringing you to his house if you are not going to do his will and obey him? Why did God have mercy on you? God is wasting his mercy. Is God wasting his mercy on you? Today is a day for asking for mercy. And when you obtain the mercy of God, not to reap the people you have cheated, the people you have stolen from, the houses you've confiscated, the people you've killed, it's a time you can ask God for mercy
so that he can show an example of his love and he can use you for his glory. How many want God to show mercy in your life? Lift up your hand and thank him for his mercy this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Standing to your feet, everyone, as we thank the Lord for his mercy. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus for your mercy, your kindness. As every head is bowed and every eye closed today, you want to reach out with your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, let me receive mercy, a failed harvest. Let me not harvest what I wouldn't like to harvest. Remember the fire that burnt Zimri. Remember the 70 children of Ahab who received the reward and the harvest. Remember how the dogs ate Jezebel. You want to say, Lord, let mercy. Let me not reap what I have sown. Thank God. The first qualification is to be merciful. Be merciful. Be merciful. Let every judgmental spirit go out of your mind and your spirit and your heart. Let there be a spirit of mercy, kindness, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. For blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, let us decide to release and to forgive and to let it go, that God's love and God's mercy may be with us. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you, oh Jesus.
I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you,
oh Jesus.
I wanna be more like you.
I wanna be more like Jesus.
I wanna be more like you.
I wanna be more like Jesus.
I wanna be a vessel.
Want to be more like Jesus. You want to be merciful like Jesus, who had mercy on that woman. Although he was not himself involved in such things, he had mercy. Other people didn't have mercy, but he had mercy. Thank God for the spirit of mercy that's released into your heart and your spirit from today, that you may also obtain mercy in the day that you need the mercy of God, that the mercy of God will be abundantly available in your case and in your favor, in the name of Jesus Christ. And as every head is bowed today and every eye closed, maybe somebody invited you to church today. Dear friend, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal savior. You want to say, Pastor, I don't know if I know Jesus. I'm not even sure whether If I die today or tomorrow, whether I go to heaven or hell, I'd like you to pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to God from today. And I want you to pray for me. If you are here like that and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me before we close. I want you to stand wherever you are, but just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray specially with you. Just lift up your right hand high in the sky. God bless you. I see your hand. Lift it up high. High, high, high. Upstairs, I see your hand at the back, on the sides. Lift it up high. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. I want my life to change from today. I want to be born again. I don't want to go to hell. I've listened to the word of God. I don't want to reap the wages of sin. I want to give my life to God. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand all over the congregation, upstairs, at the back, on the side. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. God also sees your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I want you to do one more thing. Those who have lifted your hands, I want you to come all the way to the front. I want you to come all the way to the front from wherever you are standing. Just come from wherever you are. Come and stand right here. I want to pray specially with you. From upstairs, those upstairs, you lifted your hand from the side. Just take your Bible, take your bag, come all the way to the front right here. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to give your life to God today. Come to Jesus today. Pastor, pray with me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to give my life to God today. I know in my heart that I'm far away from God. Please pray for me. Come all the way from wherever you are. Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray. Some people coming from the back quickly. Those in front, say this prayer with me, and we are still waiting for those coming. Say, Lord Jesus. Say from the bottom of your heart, Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner, that I don't know you. Please forgive me for all my sins. Today, I humble myself and I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.